Good morning. It is so good to see everyone that is out, those who have not been able to be out, that are able to be back out with us. We thank you for your presence and hope that you'll continue to be well enough to be with us. Our number is good again today, and we're thankful for that. But as I mentioned last week, if we just look around, we can see there's quite a few more pews that need to be filled. And that's what we're wanting to do as Christians. We want to get those pews filled so that people can hear the gospel. And can be obedient to the gospel. As Brother Ed mentioned, we have a DVD Bible study that we've been passing out at the fair. The congregation bought them. Brian Price down in Moundsville produced them. I would like to encourage every member, take one home with you today if you have a DVD player. If you don't, go over to someone's house who has one. Take it home and watch it, because it does no good for you to go, "I heard this is good." Okay? Take it home, watch it. The whole thing. There's three lessons. It'll take you about 20 to 30 minutes to watch it. We've been looping it out at the fair all week long. But take it home and watch it. And then go and tell your friends about it. Keep it. And when you talk to someone, go, "You know, I watched this DVD, and I think it might be helpful to you." And unbeknownst to you, you will have just spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't take a lot of work, does it? To sit home, watch a DVD, and then pass it on to someone else. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is the need for us to be about the work, not just of evangelism, but also of edification and benevolence. But, you know, when we look at the work of evangelism, we become scared of it. Because, well, I don't know enough. I can't answer all the questions. I'm not a good person to talk to people. Have you ever said, "Hey, I watched a good movie"? How many of you have watched a movie and told your friend, "Man, I watched the best movie. You ought to watch this movie"? Anyone who's ever watched a movie that they've enjoyed have probably done that. That's how simple evangelism is. And that's what we want to do. These, we've got 200 copies of these, and we can get more. Well, we don't have 200 now. We probably have about 150 left, because we went through quite a few yesterday, and hopefully we'll get rid of some more today. But we have plenty, and there's more that can be made. These are as cheap as a track. And so they're to be passed out. But make sure you've watched it, and you can tell them a little bit about what's on it. And you appear to be familiar with it, because if it appears like you don't know anything about it, they're going to go, "Well, they're not concerned, so I'm not either." And so keep these things in mind. That's just one of the few tools. If you notice, the track rack in the back is completely empty. Well, that's all out at the fair. We were hoping we wouldn't have to bring too many of them back, but we'll have that filled back up, Lord willing, Wednesday evening. But we've been talking about the need to equip the saints, to get the members of the local congregation ready to do the work that God has set before us. We have a job. We have a responsibility. And we need to understand that that job is more than just coming to church on Sunday mornings. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Our job, our responsibility, goes much further than that. And so in these lessons, we're wanting to look at some things so that we can understand better exactly what God is having us to do. When we look at the need to equip the saints, we noted last week that it is due to two factors. First of all, it's due to a providential necessity. We looked at that God is building His church. Jesus, He established His church in the first century, but He's continuing to build it today. His work goes on. And so we have a providential need to be about our Father's business, to be carrying out that work. So there's a providential need for us to go about and to work towards equipping ourselves. But there's also a practical necessity. When we look at the need, if we want people to come our way to feel that this congregation is important to them and that we have a very great desire for their soul's safety, then there's a practical need. We need to be a group of individuals that people will go and they'll attend and they'll go, "Well, yeah, that's Christianity. That's the Christianity I read of in the Bible. Those are the kind of people I've been reading about. Those are the kind of people I want to be a part of." And so we have the providential and the practical need. And as we've noted many, many other times before, for us to experience proper and full growth as a congregation, it takes the full and effective working of every individual member. This congregation will grow on the works of just one or two individuals a little bit. But really, on the works of one or two individuals, you might be lucky enough to keep the status quo, because the others who aren't doing anything, they're going to die off. And they're going to disappear. And so you might just kind of keep things as they are on the works of just one or two individuals. But if every member I asked Brother Harold to lead that song before the lesson. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. If every member is doing everything that they can do, we will experience, I firmly believe that the Scriptures show this, we will experience a greater amount of growth. When we look last week at the first century church there in the book of Acts as it had been established in Acts chapter 2, we noted in Acts chapter 2 that they were coming together daily in studying the Scriptures. They were coming together daily and spending time with one another. They were talking about the Word of God daily. And lo and behold, daily the Lord was adding to His church those who were being saved. This is what we need to be working towards emulating. This is the kind of congregation that we need to be. And so as we continue to look in this series of lessons, I believe there's value in stressing the truth that there must be diversity of function in the local church, in the members of the body of Christ. We don't all do the same things. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The need for diversity and the understanding that there is diversity and that diversity of functions, our different abilities, are a good thing. And so as we look at these things, we want to first and foremost look and understand. And I forgot to turn it on. If you would grab the remote. Oh, Anna, thank you. I got into the song and I completely forgot about turning it on. As we look at these things, let's understand that the body of Christ has many members. Now when we look at these things, I know I'm not the best specimen to be looking at. I understand that. I've been told many, many times I've got a face for radio, and I understand exactly what they're saying. I'm not all arms, am I? I've got 10 fingers, well, not 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I've got all the appendages I'm supposed to have. I'm not all fingers. I've got toes. I've got feet. I've got legs. That's what we need to understand. That as Christians, the body of Christ has many members. And we need to fully understand this. We need to comprehend that the body of Christ is made up of many members. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church there in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll find that throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, he used the idea of the body, the physical body, in showing the spiritual body and the diversity of the spiritual body. He uses that throughout his writings, and we're going to look at those today. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there beginning in verse 12, it says there, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And so as we look at this, the Apostle Paul shows us here in the latter part of verse 5 that the body is not all the same. It's though they are many, are one body. That's what we need to understand. All the members of the body do not have the same function. You ask me to do something with my left hand that I normally do with my right, I'll get it done, but it might be next week. This is my prominent hand. This is the hand that I use the most. You ask me to work a Rubik's Cube, I'll go, okay, give me a couple hours. I'll work a Rubik's Cube. After about an hour and a half of having got it done, I'll start pulling the pieces apart and putting it back together the way that I did when I was younger. But I can work a Rubik's Cube. You ask me to do it with my feet, I'll go, not going to happen. There are people who can do that with their feet. That's their ability. The body has got different abilities, and that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to show us, that with those differing abilities, we have the working together in these things. Just as the physical body, the one has many members, so it is with the body of Christ. With the body of Christ, they are many and yet one. That's what we read with the body of Christ. And so we need to understand these things. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to instruct the congregation there in Corinth. And by instructing them, it's instructing us. We're not all hands, we're not all feet, we're not all eyes. We have different abilities, but we make up that one body. In the book of Romans, going over to Romans chapter 12, there beginning in verse 4, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the body versus the church once again. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, he says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Can you imagine if we were all just one big heart? Now, we might think, well, the world would have more love. Well, no, that's not what the heart does. That kind of heart is the mind. This, the pumper, just imagine, if it was just there, it was just pumping blood. That's all it did. We were just one big lump. See, you can understand. The body is made up of many different things. If you haven't taken an anatomy class, go and look in an anatomy book and look at all the different workings of the body and you know, everything that makes up the body. That's what the Apostle Paul is making reference to. We have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. That's what we need to understand. The body of Christ, therefore, is made up. He says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we have different abilities. We have different things that we do. We don't all have the same function, but we're individually members of one of another. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12. We're all making up the same body, but we have different functions. We have different abilities. And that's a good thing. We need to understand that in this point of the similarity between the physical body containing many members and the body of Christ having many members is a simple one, and it prepares us to look and to see that not all members have the same function. Not everyone is a song leader. Not everyone is a preacher. Not everyone is a Bible class teacher. Not everyone is able to do everything. Not everyone is focused on all the same things. Going further there in Romans chapter 12, let's look again there beginning in verse 5. He says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul's not saying you've got to be all these individuals. He's not saying you have to be a leader, you've got to be a teacher, you've got to be a server, you've got to be one who gives exhortation, you've got to be one who gives. But whatever ability, whatever function God has given to you that you can complete, you do it. And each one does their part to the best of their ability. If we were all teachers, then who would be there learning? So I was told back in the days, too many chiefs, not enough Indians, is oftentimes the way that it goes. Too many people wanting to lead, not enough people wanting to follow. We have a diversity of function in the body. We understand that physically. All the members do not have the same function. We have gifts differing according to the grace that God has given to us, that He has bestowed upon us. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 once again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin reading there in verse 28. As the Apostle Paul continues his thoughts there in verse 28, he says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Just imagine if you went to a congregation and everybody was there speaking in tongues. And we can read another passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, if you've got the gift of a tongue and there's no one there to interpret, keep your mouth shut. So if we were to go to a congregation back in the first century where everybody had a gift of speaking in tongues, that would be a worthless congregation, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be any teaching getting done. There would be no edification. There wouldn't be anything that would really be effective. That's why God gave a various numbers of gifts, of abilities. And this is the same thing today. If everyone in the local congregation is a teacher, who would be the students? If everyone were students, who would be the teachers? Unfortunately, it seems that in many congregations you have just one or two teachers and a whole lot of students. And no one willing to increase in their abilities to grow as we're instructed in the Scriptures. But we can see here that God has appointed several different functions in the church. And as we look at some of these things, many of these things are things that passed away with the apostles. the apostles and the various miracles and prophecies and things, those things were special miraculous gifts that were there for the establishment of the church. They're not available today. We don't need them today. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, said that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. He talks about prophesying in part and knowing in part. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. We've got the perfect law of liberty, don't we? We've got the complete Word of God. We have no need for anything else. So these various miraculous gifts are gone, but we see the importance of having a number of different people doing a number of different things. The rhetorical questions that Paul asked imply that not all members have the same function. And indeed, we can look at other passages in the Scriptures. We can look at other authors than the Apostle Paul and see that they spoke of the need for various different individuals doing various different things. If you look over in the book of James, in James chapter 3, look there in verse 1, the writer James, he says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." In other words, be careful. I wish I could teach more. Well, understand what you're asking for. I don't want to ever scare anyone away from being a teacher, but you need to understand the very grave responsibility you're taking upon yourself, because you're teaching the oracles of God. And it's like Mark Twain used to write. He said, "Be careful reading health books because you could die of a misprint." Well, be careful. That's what James is. Be careful in teaching because you could lead someone astray. You can send their soul to hell and yours as well by allowing yourself to teach some false doctrine, by not being sure that what you're teaching is the truth. And so James is saying, let not many of you become teachers. We don't all need to be teachers. There's a lot of other functions that we can take part in, that maybe we're not qualified to be a teacher. But we need to understand, if we have the ability to teach, God expects us to use it. Let me say that again, just in case anyone wasn't listening. If we have an ability to teach, we therefore have a responsibility to build on it, to grow in it. Whatever abilities God has blessed us with, He expects us to use it. Going back and looking at the parable of the talents, you can go back and look in the writings of Matthew and Luke, and we can see where when Jesus was teaching the parable of the talents, one got five, one got two, and one got one, right? The one who received five, he went and put it to use, he gained five more. The one who received two went and put it to use, he gained two more. Both of them, when the master returned, they gave him back with interest what had been bestowed upon them. They had put it to use and they had gained more. And they were both considered good, faithful servants. The one who had received the one talent, whatever that talent might be in the way that we want to view it, he took it and he hid it in the ground, put it in a handkerchief, hid it in the ground. And when his master returned, he said, "Look, here's what you gave me, still nice and shiny as when you gave it to me. Never been used." What did the Lord say? "You wicked, lazy, slothful," some translations read, "servant." Where was his end result? What he had was taken away and given to the one who had ten. And his soul, the one who had received the one and done nothing with it, his soul was sent to hell. That's the way it's going to be if we don't fulfill our responsibilities. We need to understand what our abilities are and use them in our service to God. We can look further in 1 Peter chapter 4. In looking in the writings of the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning there in verse 10, he says there, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Here the Apostle Peter speaks of the manifold graces of God. Manifold is from the Greek word poikilos, which means motley or various in character, divers, manifold. You think Joseph's coat of many colors. That's essentially what that word there is representing, something that is made up of many things. And that's what he's talking about. The manifold grace of God has given you these diverse gifts. And whatever gift you have been given, you make sure that you use it in a manner that is pleasing to God. Use it in the strength that God has given to you. Honestly, does anyone here present today want to go to heaven and stand there before the Lord on the day of judgment and say, "Yes, I probably had this ability, but I didn't use it. I probably should have done this, or I probably should have done that." Folks, we need to understand, when we have been given abilities, we've got to use them. We've got to put them to use. We've got to grow in them. I've said it time and time again, no Christian is pleasing in the sight of God who remains where they are. There's no such thing as a static Christian. As a Christian that's good enough. No such thing. You either grow as a child of God or you die. Period. We must fully understand that. And we must see the need to have the various diverse abilities that are there in the local Christian. Not all members have the same functions. And we need to understand that failure to appreciate this point can be detrimental. It can be detrimental to the individual members. When members are led to believe that all Christians are to be alike, they're all to be serving in the same capacity, it encourages some Christians to be what they're not, nor ever can be. When we tell all men everybody must be a preacher, you've all got a responsibility, you must preach, there are some men that don't belong in the pulpit. That's not their ability. It's a wise man that can see that something that maybe he wants to do, he can't. He's not able. God didn't bless him with that ability. And understands that God gave him other abilities. You see, when we have people striving to be things that they're not able to be, they waste their talents in other areas that the Lord may have blessed them with. They waste them away because they kept striving for something that God didn't bless them with. It leads to failure in their attempts to serve, and it can turn into discouragement and apathy. It can also be detrimental to the local congregation. When we look at the body of Christ, and how it's designed by God to accomplish several functions. Look again up here. I know I'm not appealing, but you know, my mouth, it's got a couple of responsibilities. Number one, it tells my kids, don't go play in the road. Be safe. Don't talk to strangers. Don't take candy from people you don't know. It also tells my wife, honey, I love you. I appreciate all that you've done. It's also used to speak, most importantly, the oracles of God. My hand is used in various different ways. Swat away flies. Spank my children occasionally when they're not doing what I think they need to be doing. Pat my wife on the back or my children on the back and say, you're doing a great job. I appreciate you. Type out bulletins, things of that nature. Our bodies are very diverse in their functions. My feet can't do what my hands do, but my hands can't go anywhere if my feet won't carry them, will they? That's what we need to understand in the local congregation. We don't all need to be preachers. We don't all need to be teachers. We need to understand the importance of the diversity of functions. You see, when people are expected to do the same thing, other important functions, they go undone. If we set up before the men and go, well, the most important thing you can do is preach, who's going to lead the prayers? Who's going to lead the singing? Who's going to wait on the Lord's table? Who's going to do all the other important works that are out there that are just as important as preaching the gospel? If we tell all the women, well, you've got to be Bible class teachers. And once again, if you have the ability to teach, you have the responsibility to teach. Who's going to help with a lot of the things that go on behind the scenes? If everyone's working so hard at teaching, who's going to send cards to those that are sick or bereaved? If everyone's focused on teaching, who's going to make some meals and such to give to those that are suffering, who have deaths in the family or infirmities or have members in the hospital? Who's going to help? Who's going to care? So we need to understand the importance of having a congregation made up of members with various functions. And this leads to the final point I want to talk about this morning. And then this evening, Lord willing, If things go as I have planned and the Lord allows us to remain long enough, we'll look at many of the different roles in the local congregation, in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. And I encourage you, as we look at these things, you look and go, well, I can do that. I can do that. And then you begin taking part in those things so that not just one or two individuals are doing everything. But the thing we need to understand is that every function is crucial to the operation of the body. What if I lost my hands? What if I lost my arms? I would have to depend on someone else to feed me because I have a big gut and my foot would not be able to reach my face to feed me. Now, after not eating for a while, I might be limber enough to be able to do that, but I'd have to depend on someone else. What if I lost my ability to speak? It's the biggest fear of all preachers, is to lose their ability to speak, that lose their mind and their ability to speak. What if I lost that? I may think, well, I can get by without certain things. I might think, well, I can get by without my pinky toe. Well, I know of some individuals who have lost their pinky toe. And they'll tell you firsthand, it takes a while to relearn how to walk. We don't realize how much that pinky toe is used in keeping our balance. In the physical body, every part of our body has a very important thing. And the same thing is true in the spiritual body, in the group of Christians. Every function is crucial to the operation of the body. No one can say that they or their role is unimportant. That's what we need to understand, folks. That's what we need to comprehend. The Apostle Paul, going back and looking at the illustration of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning there in verse 15, he says, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Now it's interesting, as we look, we can see the sense of humor that the Apostle Paul had. He just threw a picture, a big eyeball. If the whole body were an eye, how could we hear? How could we smell? How could we eat? And I know some of the kids probably thinking back to Monsters Incorporated and that little Mike character. He's a whole lot of eye. If the whole body were a foot, once again, the humor of the Apostle Paul in getting this point across. If the whole body were a foot, can you imagine the foot going, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm useless, so I'm going to leave. Once again, can a hand do anything if the foot doesn't carry it there? Our hands are useless. Now, we can get around, but it's a lot more difficult. It's a lot easier to get around on legs and feet than it is on our hands. Now, there are many members, but one body. Folks, we need to understand that there's no place for low self-esteem among the members of the body of Christ. As we sang, turn back in your psalm books. Was it number 620, is that right? Turn back and look again at the song that was sung before the lesson, number 620. I don't think we pay enough attention to the songs. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small kindly deed that may cheer another is the work God has planned for you. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven to the work God has planned for you. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Can't you say to Him now, I will leave the shirkers and the work Thou hast planned I'll do. Did you catch? Are you thirsty? Here. Here's a drink of water. Well, why are you doing this? Well, because I'm a Christian. Because that's what Christians do. It's a small work, but it's something that anyone can do. Once again, looking at this DVD, I'm not an evangelist. I can't preach. I'm not a good teacher. I can't have Bible studies. Yes, you can. You can invite people in. Do you have a DVD player and a television? A computer of some sort with a DVD player in it? If you do, all you have to do is invite people into your home and say, I'd like for you to watch this. And there you're having a Bible study in your home. It's that simple. Well, I won't be able to answer the questions that they have. You know my phone number? Give me a call. You know, I'm not the only man here that would be more than willing to answer your phone call, to answer the questions. Or invite us over. Hey, I'm going to have some people over to watch this DVD. I'd like to have a man there or someone who's knowledgeable there to answer questions. All right. I'll be there. You're teaching the gospel to the lost. There's so many simple things, so many small things. It doesn't take much to hand someone a DVD. We did it several times yesterday. In fact, if you set them out there, they'll come by and pick them up. Tracts, bulletins, CDs, DVDs. They're all spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once again, looking back at the idea, the Lord set forth the idea of the sower, the parable of the sower. He says, sower went out to sow. You know what sowing is? It's not with needle and thread putting. That's not what he's talking about there. So at sowing the seed, they would have a bag that would be filled with seed. They'd reach in there with their hand, and they'd just cast it. And it's interesting, as you look at the parable of the sower, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Well, what's the wayside? Well, that's the pathway. That's where they would walk along the outer edge of the field, and it would be packed down, it would be hard. Well, that seed fell on useless ground. Does that mean that the sower didn't throw it out there anymore? No, the next time he came out to throw seed, he threw it out there again. He didn't care who received that seed, is what the Lord is trying to set forth. We shouldn't care who is receiving the Word of God as long as we're throwing out the Word of God. Some fell among the rocks. Rocky ground. This ground hadn't been prepared. I always think back to Arkansas. Every time my dad put in a garden, we'd take his big trailer out there, and we'd fill that trailer up two or three times with a load full of big rocks so that ground would be better to work for putting in a garden. He had two gardens. So every year we were getting rocks out of both those gardens. Fell among the rocky ground. Did it bring forth any fruit? No. Fell among the thorns, the thistles. And the word, it went in and it sprung up, but it was choked out. Three out of the four areas where the sower is sowing the seed, it didn't bring forth any result, did it? Now you think about that for just a moment when you go, nobody wants to hear the gospel anymore. You know what? They didn't then either. The attitude of mankind has not changed one whit. We're still the same individuals. I appreciate Brother Harold for bringing out time and time again in our study of the Israelites. That's just us. We do the same things that we complain about them doing. The world hasn't changed. Whatever your ability, do it. If your ability is no more than handing out a DVD or a tract, then you have an ability and there's room for you to do that ability in the kingdom of God. No one can say to others that they're not important. Here's where you get. There's no such thing as an arrogant Christian. I don't know if that's original with me. I imagine I've heard it before. But you just understand, there's no such thing as an arrogant Christian. Can't be. Those two just don't match. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, continuing on there in verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Do you think much about your small intestines? No. I mean, do you ever sit around and go, wow, I really appreciate my small intestines. I like my small intestines. You don't ever do that, do you? Talk to Miss Mary Jane. Others who have lost their portions of their small intestines. Go talk to your doctor and say, how long can I live without my small intestines? They carry out a very important work. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The things that appear weaker. You know, if it weren't for our small intestines, we'd get clogged up and be in some serious trouble. We can understand that physically. And the same is true spiritually. No one can say that what others do is not important. Well, I'm a preacher, and therefore everybody else needs to bow down to me and look at me and look at what I... And I know preachers who are like that. Look at what I have done. Look at all the souls that I have reached. Look at all the souls that I have saved. Look at all the baptisms that I have performed. I want to say to them, well, they may have been baptized for the right reason. They may get to heaven, but you just lost your place. Because you're saying that you have the saving power, not God. The Apostle Paul said, who is Apollos and who is Paul? Who are we? The Apostle Paul was a great apostle. Apollos was a very effective preacher and teacher of the gospel. Who are we? We're nothing. We spread a little bit of seed. We sprinkle a little bit of water. God gives the increase. I've seen people go, well, I can lead singing, and I can wait on the table, and I can lead prayer, I can take care of everything all by myself. Great! Why don't you use that wonderful ability that you have to do all those things to train others in how to do it? Because the church needs more. Folks, we need to be careful in how we present ourselves. There is no place for an arrogant independence among members of the body of Christ. No man is an island. You can't get there on your own. As was mentioned, you know, it's easier to get there in a group. I can go out there, I can pick a couple of sticks out of the woods out there. I can hand it to Austin. He'll break them. Oh, he will. He'll beat it on something, probably me, until it's broken. If I say, hey, you break this, he'll break it. But I can go out there and I can take 10 or 20 of them, bind them together and hand them to the strongest person in this building, and they won't be able to break them. Because together they're stronger. Now there's going to be some small weak ones in there, and there's going to be some bigger strong ones in there, and there's going to be some in there that are dead and some in there that are green. But all of them in their various strengths being put together make them an effective bundle to where they cannot be broken. The same is true in the diversity of the local church. There are some that are strong teachers, some that are strong in writing cards to individuals, encouraging individuals, calling them, checking on them. There are so many things that can and should be done. And that's what we're going to talk about, Lord willing, this evening. And we need to understand this places several challenges before us. The first challenge is to be aware of the different ways that members can serve in the body of Christ. Be aware of what all can be done. Be aware of how we can work together in these things. The second is to encourage the members of the body of Christ to develop those functions that best suit their abilities and their opportunities to serve. Let's not put everybody in the same mold. Men, we need to understand that in the lack of elders, we have a responsibility to look at the flock, all of them in the flock, and go, well, what can Miss Grace, what abilities does she have? How can we help her in her abilities? Paula, what's her strengths? What's her abilities? How can we help her grow in those abilities? And anyone. We need to be looking. We need to be helping them to grow, providing them with opportunities to grow, encouraging them to develop the functions, the abilities that they have. And we need to provide direction and opportunity for those who are willing and prepared to serve in these various different functions. It's no good to have someone who's good at sending out cards if we don't make sure that they're aware that they can be doing that. That there's a need to be doing that. It doesn't do any good to know that there are certain things that members of the Lord's church here can be doing, and we're not encouraging them to carry out those things. We're not helping them in the avenue of carrying it out. So we as men, once again, in the lack of the oversight of elders, and that's another thing we're going to look at this evening. Maybe we have some amongst us that we need to be grooming to be elders. The church has failed in that. Any church that's gone for 20 years or more without elders has failed in its responsibility to groom its young men and its young women to be elders and elders' wives. These are things that we need to be doing. we need to be carrying out, looking at the diversity of function. Understand that we're not all eyes, we're not all feet, we're not all hands, but we all have a responsibility. But as we close our lesson, we need to understand that perhaps not everyone who is present here today is a member of the body of Christ. How do you become a member of the body of Christ, you might ask? Well, let me tell you. The Lord said in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of your sins." It begins with belief in Jesus Christ. Belief that He is the Son of God. Belief that He is deity. That He came down to this earth and He died that cruel death upon the cross so that we who are sinners, we who are unworthy, we who do not deserve the grace nor the mercy of God can have salvation of our sins. Do you believe that? Then you're one step closer to being a part of the body of Christ, but you're not there yet. James says that faith without works is dead. Belief alone won't get you there. Do you understand that there are things in your life that God is not happy with, that God is displeased with? Do you understand that, like in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree that was there in the middle of the garden, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when they went against the commands of God, He removed them from the Garden of Eden. They began to die physically and they died spiritually right then. They were removed from that close fellowship with God, and mankind has been following in their footsteps. Every individual, except for Jesus Christ, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 16. Do you understand that you've sinned? All you need to do is confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried in baptism. And I'm going to say to you, just as Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus when he came there to Damascus, Saul had been there fasting for 3 days, praying to God for 3 days. He believed. He had repented. And Ananias says, "Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." There, I said it without the R so everyone here can understand it. Washing away your sins. Saul was still in his sins, wasn't he? He had repented. He believed. But he was still a sinner because he had not been baptized. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are not a part of the body of Christ. And no matter what your abilities might be, you can't use them for God if you're not a part of the body of Christ. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Submit yourself in humble obedience to His call. But quickly, perhaps you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been fulfilling your responsibility as a member in a local congregation. You haven't been increasing in your talents. You haven't been increasing in your abilities. You've been sitting there in the pew for 20, 30 years not doing a thing. You're not going to get to go to heaven. You're going to be that one talented individual and the Lord's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice iniquity." If you have not been growing, come forward and confess your sin of lack of growth. Whatever your sin might be, confess it and God will forgive you. He's ready to forgive you and to return you to His fold. And allow you to be an effective worker in His kingdom. Whatever your situation might be, make it right with God this day as we stand and as we sing.